And now, the Sleep Hawk Worldwide Podcast. Here are your hosts, Brandon Staten and Tyler Hensbro.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sleep Hawk Worldwide Podcast. This is Sleep Dog with the Big Hulk.
What's up, everybody?
It's the Big Hulk.
Yeah, let's get to this podcast. I'm excited. Not a lot going on. Very uninformed, man. But we are going to have opinions. We're going to have a great podcast. So stay tuned.
Guys, Milwaukee currently up 30 on Indiana. I mean, just a thriller going on NBA playoffs. Snooze-a-thon. I know that's why you guys tuned in. It's Sunday night as we're recording this bad boy for Monday morning. We got a few things going on in the Carolina basketball world. We'll touch on those. We got Drake May. Should be drafted one overall. Sure looks like he might go number two to the Commandos. Don't really know what that noise was all about. I'm just really hopeful now that, you know, I got rid of my boy Sam. I hope they take Drake. NFL draft Thursday. We'll talk about that. NBA playoffs already started. We'll kind of talk about that. NBA awards. I know you guys are just on the edge of your
guys,
seat.
Stay in your seat.
Guys, do not leave. If you got to go to the bathroom, hold it. Okay.
Yes.
We might talk a little bit about this dude getting kicked out of the NBA for betting on sports. I do feel like that's interesting. And it's always fun to relive my Wimby take. So he looks like he's going to win some postseason awards. But unlike my boy Jonathan Kuminga, might lament about that. Anyway, first things first, Carolina basketball. Seth Tremble transfers out. Harrison Ingram to the NBA. Both kind of bummers because we were hoping maybe to have both of them back. Dontrezz Stiles transferred out last year to Georgetown. Next year, we'll play for the Wolfpack. That's an interesting one. And Duke, a lot of people transferring out of Duke. We asked in the last pod. They're just a brand at this point. They're bringing all these guys in. I'm sure a lot of them leaving. So anyway, what's the biggest disappointment? Bigger disappointment, Big Hawk. Seth Tremble transferring out or Harrison Ingram declaring for the NBA draft as far as next season's prospects?
Well, I think the one thing, like, Harrison Ingram was, I mean, we all know what he did. He had a great year. It's this new era of basketball. It's really difficult because that's why college basketball is so special, is because you get to follow these guys, it seems like, for 4 years, and then, you know, it's kind of lost that. But Harrison Ingram had a huge impact. We all know that. Man, I really wish I could have seen him play one more year for us, because just the thought of him coming back with RJ and what he did and running it back. And I think RJ's still kind of undecided. He's figuring things out. Would love to have him back. For me, though, I've always said my favorite player this year was Seth Tremble. And Harrison Ingram had a bigger impact. Because he played more minutes and provided with, you know, a lot more opportunities. But he had a great, unbelievable year. At times, gave us a lot of different things and made this team very versatile because he could play a lot of different positions. And the reason I like Seth Tremble is, one, because he played his role so good and he didn't really get the minutes that a lot of other guys did. But he still had a huge impact on the game. He had a huge impact on the game, not from a scoring standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, a spirit standpoint. He brought great energy. He made winning plays, and he really embraced that role. And he's one of those guys that just improved. And, you know, I thought he would be back next year. And, you know, one of these guys that I was getting excited about, you could see his confidence getting up and start to do more things offensively. And I've seen him work out. I think he can be a pretty decent shooter. I think he's got touch, and I think he's going to continue to get better and better. I wish him luck, whatever he does. I have heard some rumors that he might be coming back. I would love to hear see that happen, but wish him luck, whatever does happen. But the Seth Tremble losing him was, that was tough to see. And Harrison Ingram. I mean, it's just the thought of what we could be next year if everyone came back was just really, really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's interesting now. It's like, I'm less like, look, I'm with you. I think Harrison Ingram was probably my favorite player. I think I said that a lot on this year's team. I think Seth Trimble is and will be a great player wherever he goes. And, but I get less upset now when people leave. I don't take it personally anymore. I think it does. I think it ultimately will make fans, love guys that stay even more, you know? But I think that your sort of era of, you know, and it really started, I think a lot of people got real bent out of shape when Caleb Love transferred out. And then they kind of saw how everybody, you know, was better off for it. And I think came to their senses. And I don't fault a guy like Trimble. I mean, I think what it had to have come down to with him is that maybe one of these kids coming in is probably, you know, he's risks getting behind that player too. And I also get, you know, the mentality that, you know, you got to win your spot and that sort of stuff. And, but now there's money on the table, man, for these kids. And it just really changes everything. And in my opinion, right. So, you know, before it was like, hey, there's a guy coming in. And the mentality is like, if you transfer out, it's like, you don't want to compete, right? You just want the spot, or maybe feel like you deserve it, or maybe none of that's true. And you got some other reasons, but that's certainly the perception. Whereas now it's like, hey man, if I can go somewhere and play, I can make money. And if I'm running the risk of coming, staying here and not playing, I can either not make money or make less money. So, or who knows? There might be a program or a coach out there that really sees him as a huge asset and really thinks that he's one of the pieces that could fit well. And that just, you know, that's what I mean. It just changes everything. And I've always felt like the best part of the transfer portal is when a player can play their way up into better programs. You know, from an unknown to maybe a mid-market and into a bigger program. And you saw a couple of those guys on our team as well as throughout, you know, the NCAA. So I like that part. It's always going to sting when people leave. Like, my biggest fear is that Washington leaves. But I think to the contrary of what maybe is true with Trimble is, like, Washington's spots opened up now that Armando's gone. You know, I think he's going to be a really good player. And you've said it a lot, but I think he's going to be really, really good with the opportunity. And, you know, we got some good kids coming in and we still have enough pieces that if they stay, it's going to be exciting. But I'm with you. It's hard as a fan. And I think Harrison Ingram is smart to leave now because I think it's kind of universally seen as a pretty weak draft. And if he can, you know, if he can play well in some of these, you know, draft combines and play his way into the first round, I mean, he could find himself on a really good team because he's, you know, probably going to get drafted later in the first round. So, I mean, you know, it just is what it is. It's a different game. It's, for some reasons, frustrating. But I do think that players that do stick around, that are your 3 or 4 year players at universities, not only will they be more revered by the fans, but I think they'll make more money that way in the long run. And I think also they'll be, you know, sort of, they'll be the ones that are probably have bigger, better legacies in mm-hmm. college for staying in one place. But it's definitely a different time.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know, it's you know, and then the other thing going on here that a lot of people are talking about is Styles, right? I thought Dontrell Styles was an intriguing player the year he was in Chapel Hill. And you know, then he leaves, goes to Georgetown. Be honest, I got no clue what he did while he was there. But now he's coming to NC State, but he's a North Carolina kid.
Yeah.
So, like, it's weird because I'm like, when you come back to UNC, I guess that maybe that, I don't know, is there a transfer rule against coming back to a place you left? That's one thing.
I have no clue. I mean, maybe I doubt it. Yeah, actually, Dontrez had a pretty good year for Georgetown. Georgetown was okay. Was very bad. He mm-hmm. played well, had some good spurts. Dontrez is athletic. He has a lot of potential. He can do a lot of different things. I think he could be a very good player. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the fact is we didn't play him at UNC. And yeah. Ultimately, if I was going to guess, that's probably why he transferred. He wanted more minutes. He got a bigger role at Georgetown. And, you know, I'm pretty sure State was excited about getting him.
Oh, yeah.
Just the fact that, you know, here's a guy that, you know, came from Carolina, had Carolina roots, and now is playing for state. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there. I do know he's a North Carolina kid, so maybe he wanted to be closer to home as well. Mm-hmm. So that played a factor. But Dontrez is a good kid. So
yeah,
it's not like, you know, like I said, I'll not ever be pulling for a Wolfpack, but I hope he does well.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's what I'm marking out on the calendar, because, you know, that's one where, you know, he might have a chip on his shoulder. He might have, I'm sure he's got that one circled. He might go off. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there's also that piece. I think he's, isn't he from Kinston? I think he's from Eastern North Carolina. So, you know, I mean, you could say, well, why wouldn't he go somewhere else? But I mean, that's pretty close to home. If that's where he wants to be and can make money and can do those types of things. Like, yeah, I mean, I always pull for him, but I don't pull for him when he plays us. Definitely don't have it. Yeah, it's just, it's such a weird thing, man. I just never in a million years could imagine. I don't know. I just couldn't imagine going to state. This isn't a knock on Dontrez Styles. That's just, I don't understand. That's a weird one there for me. I couldn't imagine going. If I went to state, I couldn't imagine coming to Carolina or Duke or any of those three. I would play for one and never play for another one unless, I don't know. Speaking of Duke, boy, guys, it's like, you know, if this podcast is water, we're in the Sahara Desert right now, guys. There is absolutely nothing interesting happening that we can really delve into unless we want to get into foreign affairs and, you know, political matters, but we'll refrain. So Duke's transfer thing, man, I don't even know what we're going to say about this for more than about 2 minutes, but it sure does seem like people are flying the coop over there. So you got Filipowski goes pro. Mm-hmm. I feel like he could have used another year.
Yep.
You got McCain went pro. And to me, dude, and I've said this before, I don't know, dude, that kid, he's all right. I just don't see that dude being, I don't know. I see him capping out of like Tyus Jones.
Well, first of all, he's not that. He lacks size, but he is, I mean, I don't know, Sleep Dog. He had some good moments. He played well against us at the end, but I'm with you. It's a weak draft, so somebody's going
to
take him.
I guarantee you, if we really wanted to, and we've got the time, but I don't want to do it because I don't feel like it. But if we wanted to, we could select an entire first round ahead of Jared McCain.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's my thing is like, dude, unless you're a lotto pick, and again, it's a weak draft, so I'm sure people are in your ear saying, hey, man, now's the time to go. But, you know, and they lost 7 transfers. I mean, they got this Cooper Flag kid, man. I've watched a little about him, man. He's a big deal, but he better be awfully good because they are skeleton crew over there.
I was kind of surprised Jeremy Roach transferred. He's been there for a while. Pretty good player.
Mm-hmm.
That one's going to hurt.
They just said where he went. Baylor?
Yeah,
I think Baylor. He just committed to Baylor. Mm-hmm. Something's up over there, man. I don't know what it is, but an old brotherhood, man. It's like old brotherhood. That's what we call this podcast, old brotherhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's safe. I mean, Duke's losing people left and right. We'll go next. Wait, I love this. We can take our time on these transitions. We got to talk about some sort of food or something before we get out. We have to think of something on the fly. NFL draft is Thursday. I read where Caleb Williams is pretty much like the shoe-in. Chicago's going to take him. They're going to regret that.
I just don't see him panning out. Uh-uh. And I don't know football from a baseball, but I'll tell you this. he's not going to pan out because Drake May's the best quarterback in that class. I don't care what anybody says. He's the best.
Buddy, 20 years from now, people ain't even going to know who Tom Brady is.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. All right. I think so. I read where everybody thought that Daniels, this kid from Jaden Daniels, kid from LSU, that Washington wanted him. But apparently the betting odds have swung pretty fiercely in favor of May. So apparently I had a number somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. But as a Washington fan, you know, they traded Sam. And that was a bummer because I like Sam.
Yeah.
But it's hard not to get excited about it's hard not to get excited about Drake May. And I read, here's the odds went from Jaden being 2,500 minus 2,500 to minus 115. And May went from plus 1,500 to minus 125, which basically means it was a shoe-in and now it's not. And now Drake and Daniels, like, nobody knows what's going to happen. So apparently the reason is Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk believes that LSU QB Jaden Daniels does not want to play for the Commanders. I mean,
who wants to play for the Commanders?
Who would? You know, the only thing I hate for Drake May is if he gets drafted to my favorite team, it'd be over before it started. I think if we can get Sam alone in a room, he'd probably tell you the same thing. That place is a circus. I've been a fan of that team since they were good. They're hard to root for, but I tell you what, I will mortgage my house for some Drake May rookie cards if he gets drafted by the Commanders, even though that's probably the kiss of death. Anyway, I mean, draft's Thursday night, so I guess they do the first round on TV. You know,
I'll be just glued to it. Guys ever watch NFL drafted? Oh, man, it is, man. Last year they did in Vegas, right?
Oh yeah. And then the best part is like you wait, your team comes up and they just almost did it, guys. I'm getting better at it. They just absolutely ruin it for you by like right before, I think they're going to draft such and such here. And they're going, what, the 88th pick of the NFL draft. They draft such and such from, and I'm like, what, dude? Like, I just sat here for 4.5 hours for this to come up, and you could have just told me that 2 hours ago. They just spoil it every time.
Yeah. Or it's some guy that they have no, like, well, we got to get film on this guy.
train wreck. I mean, the thing of it is like, let's get real. I mean, they're in the fifth round. And you got Mel Kiper saying, you know, Mike Ingersoll, offensive tackle out of University of North Carolina, like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, brother, you don't know what you're talking about, dude. You have never heard of this guy. We are 400 people into the NFL draft, and you act like you guys know what's going on. And then they like yell and they talk about all this shit.
If Mel Kiper's so good, why isn't he on a team right now?
Yeah, why didn't a GM? Yeah,
why did a team just like, hey, this is our draft guy. He's going to break everything down for us. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, good question. Somebody would take him from ESPN. I'm not sold on Kiper.
I ain't sold on any of them.
No.
Tom McShay and all those guys.
No.
What was the dude that used to wear the tie that was like this tall and a huge ass knot? It wasn't McShay. It was, crap, man.
Not Scheffler.
Nah, Shefty, dude. Poor guy. That guy just never lets
up. He has like five phones.
God.
He's either fooling everybody or he's.
Yeah. He don't know none of that stuff. Yeah. I just want to know how you get in. How you get in like that? You know, we're pretty deep in. You're pretty deep in at UNC.
Oh.
And sometimes I'll ask Tyler, I'll be like, hey, dude, you got any idea? I won't tell anybody. He's like, brother, you got as good an idea as I do. And meanwhile, Adam Schefter knows what the third string quarterback from the Seattle Supersonics is making, you know, for lunch tomorrow. The guy's always on TV, and he does the thing where he's always on TV and gets some breaking news like while it happens.
Yeah.
Shit's staged.
Or like where he's on TV, but he can't like look at the cameras like, wait.
Hang on, guys.
He's playing it on his phone. I guarantee.
Dude's playing Candy Crush.
Yeah, he's just flipping, scrolling through. All right, the real time.
My favorite is the ones where there's a couple accounts that like basically know how that at Twitter will have so many characters, and it'll be like Adam Schefter fan. And then, like, the fan part is cut off with, like, the preview, and they'll tweet something out, and the whole world just runs with it, and they realize it's a fake account. That happened recently. I can't remember who it was, but somebody got pretty bad with that. But, yeah, I don't know. NFL draft is exciting for literally, like, three picks. I mean, we're just going to – all I care about, once they pick Drake May, if they want to keep my eyeballs on the television, you know, somebody better come out with some bad story about Drake May and – make sure he gets drafted in the second round, because once they call his name to the Commanders, tuning out.
Well,
unless the only alternative is the WNBA, I am not watching NFL draft.
Hey, don't sleep on the WNBA.
It's gonna be
lit next year, man.
I mean, guys, you want to know anything about WNBA, we'll call our guy Sheed.
Yeah.
He's got the bet lines and everything, man. He knows everything there is to know about WNBA.
And the one thing I'm looking forward to with the draft being over is I put on Get Up every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only thing they cover. And I cannot wait. The overanalyzation that's going on right now at ESPN on the NFL draft is just like, I've tuned into news station. I'm watching the news now because Get Up won't talk about anything else except for this draft coming up. And so,
dude, I would like that with the NBA. And today, you know, the basketball playoffs start and the Knicks have a good game. And I am in the opposite end of my house, which isn't very large, but I'm in the opposite end of my house changing my newborn child's diaper while he is screaming to the top of his lungs because he don't like them cold wipes. And all I hear, I have to stop and walk into the other room and turn the TV off because I can hear Stephen A. Smith screaming at like 7:30 in the morning or whatever time that shit comes on. Above, I was like, dude, Stephen A., come on, brother. I actually like Stephen A. because he's just a circus act. Oh, I love watching that guy. And I'm like, dude, you got to chill, brother. Like, this is getting on my nerves, and I'll give you a long leash. But yeah, it's like ESPN is just like, I mean, if it weren't for Caitlin Clark, to swoop in and save the day on that place. I mean, that's all they talk about is Caitlin Clark, NFL draft, and like what's going on with the Lakers and Warriors as I watch a 30-point beatdown here in the first round of the playoffs. It's a snooze-a-thon. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of playoffs, all right. Boy, we're stretching it. Was I talking about playoffs? Yeah. I mean, I think my pick at the beginning of the year, by the way, was the Warriors and Sixers in the finals. I think that was it. So that ain't looking so hot.
Yeah. I think I put Phoenix in there too.
Phoenix. Yeah. I mean, so far, okay, here's a question. Here's a legitimate question that I can ask you about the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Luka Doncic is widely considered one of, if not the best players in the NBA. He's still very young. But I watched him just get absolutely throttled today by the Clippers without Kawhi. And they've got Kyrie. And they've got some pieces, but I'm curious as to why, like, Luka doesn't get scorched like all these other guys do. Like, I mean, he's not LeBron, but like James Harden, for example. Like, I think most people would take, and James Harden's a little older now, but people rode James Harden's ass for a long time for not winning in the playoffs. And like Luka, I guess they've been to a conference finals. I don't think they've been to the NBA finals. He's still got like 10 years of prime, right? Mm-hmm. But like nobody really gets on him about not winning. And it's weird to me because there's a good chance that LA wins 8-5. And they won a first game, with granted at home, but convincingly with no Kawhi. Where do you think, I mean, is Luka overrated?
Absolutely not.
I didn't see the knot coming. Shit.
I mean, he's still really young. He's only 25. I mean, I
think he's 24.
Yeah.
He might be 25. Yeah.
He's super young, but, you know, the Mavs, I mean, they're still kind of building. I would say they're missing one or two more pieces. But they're on the rise, and he's had very good performances.
I mean, he put up like 30 something. Let me check what he had tonight. I mean, it wasn't like he had a bad game.
Yeah,
they made it close. It was 109-97, but it wasn't that close. It was not even close to that close. I mean, he had 33, and Kyrie had 31, and the next dude on their team was PJ Washington with 11.
Yeah, it came from the Hornets. They're missing some pieces, but the Clippers
are.
They're a pretty good team. They have Westbrook coming off the bench, and I know he's older. No Kawhi, but James Harden can score. Paul George,
even guy like Terrence Mann's a good role player for them. He's a good outside shooter.
That big too.
Zubac. They still have,
who's the big on there?
Zubac.
Zubac.
I got Plumlee too. Yeah.
He's pretty big. I mean, he's a good big. I don't know, man. If Kawhi's healthy, the Clippers watch out for them.
Yeah. I mean, that could be good. Who else we got here? Obviously, you got Denver. I mean, Boston just smoked Miami. They're going to sweep that series. Good one tonight, though, is OKC New Orleans. OKC is going to be good. And when we did our NBA season preview, I mean, I told you guys they were going to be good. Told you guys the Rockets were going to be good, too. And I think Big Hawk laughed at me. But they didn't make the playoffs, but they almost made the playoffs. Almost. Almost made the playoffs. Milwaukee's playing the Pacers. I mean, it is 100-0 right now. Let me go back to yesterday and see what happened. I mean, we'll just touch on this stuff. I know nobody cares. Cleveland, Orlando. Everybody's talking about Orlando. And Banchero's actually turned into a really good player, but they ain't doing shit. Anthony Edwards. This could be the coming out party for Ant-Man.
22 years old. He needs to have it. They need to win this series.
Dude, he's 22.
Yeah, he's 22, but... Karl Anthony Towns, is he playing?
He is due back, but is not back.
He's like the one of the...
Yes, no, I'm sorry. He played. He played 27 minutes, 19 points.
Yeah, man.
Rudy Gobert, 14-16.
They win?
Yeah, big time. 25 over the Suns.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Dude, Edwards in that game, you're like... Dude, we might be watching the next big thing. I'm telling you. All right. So I get that a lot of people, and that's not even really going out on a limb. All right. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that Anthony Edwards is really good. Everybody knows that Shea Alexander is good. Interestingly enough, SGA, you know, he did not score. I'm pretty certain this is right. He did not score 40 points all season long, and he damn near averaged 30. Dude scored like 31 points almost every single game. Kind of weird, but yeah. Cool stat. He's a great player. You know, there's some really good players in the league, but Anthony Edwards, man, in that first game, it was the first guy probably, dude, it was like a LeBron KD type level performance. Boy, he was clearly the best player on the court. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to get into the NBA, cool. My suggestion is when the Timberwolves play, you know, just check out one of those games. I mean, I think they finished first in the West. He is a Jordan-like physique and athleticism and total game. I'm not saying he's Jordan by any stretch of the imagination, but he's really fun to watch.
Check him out. He's exciting. He's an explosive scorer. He's athletic. He will give you Showtime highlights. If you don't know anything about basketball, you'll be blown away.
Yeah, he ain't afraid to tell you he's cooking either.
Yep.
he hit like a step back over Kevin Durant, who he has said that Kevin Durant is his favorite player of all time. And he hit this like sick baseline over Durant closing out on him. And I mean, Durant's got like an insane reach and barely couldn't get to it. And Edwards just popped it right on him and just is beating his chest going out, just talking shit to Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant smiling because he's like, yeah, I mean, that to me, I was like, that's a pretty ultimate sign of respect from a guy like KD. He knows.
I want to talk about KD.
All right.
Because I was in the league when prime KD was there, and I just want to say, like, I've never seen a basketball player that can score so easy and make it look so easy. He's one of the all-time great offensive players, and you can watch a game and he'll have 30 and you're just like, man, that was smooth. And he can absolutely dominate a game, by the way.
Had 31 on 11 of 17 and 2 for 2 from three last night.
And I also played with Roy Hibbert at the time, who's the best rim protector in the league for years, actually. One of the best defenders, I'm not going to say ever, but he was, you can make an argument that he's a
really good defensive player.
Yeah. The vertical, very the good. Straight up player. I mean, he made that very popular. I saw KD dunk on him so hard in a game that I like, it's one of those moments where I'm on the same team as Roy and I'm like, holy,
oh,
and like
shit.
Very you rarely you're yourself. Just floored. You're like, wow. And it just happened out of nowhere. And you're right, Sleep. Like, they say he's 6'9". Guys, he is like 7 foot with like a wingspan. Mm-hmm. And he can dunk with these, but he's also athletic. And when he he goes all out and uses his athleticism. You'd be like, whoa. And it's just like mind blowing that a human could do it. I mean, it's just, God, he's one of these all time great athletes that just blows you away. And that's Kevin Durant.
He really doesn't get enough credit, man. He was fifth in the league in scoring. He's 35 years old. I never forget this. All right. Cause I was in school when, you know, he came out and, you know, Greg Oden got picked above him. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, why on earth? And this is not, you know, apparently Greg Oden's a good dude. It's a really kind of sad story that his body just gave out on him. I think he could have been a good player. But I just remember thinking to myself, this is not hindsight. I was like, why in the world would they take anybody over Kevin Durant? And they did. And, you know, what's scary to think is what they had in OKC back then. Right. And what they have now is very similar. So, I mean, they had Harden, Durant, Westbrook, and even had Ibaka. And hell, they had somebody else that was really good. So, and now the team's just stacked. But that, so those are the two fun teams to watch, really. I mean, if you're just looking for a storyline, you got OKC and you got the Timberwolves. And then the Knicks are pretty good too. That was the good game. That was the one good game I've seen so far. Was the Knicks and Sixers. And dude, Joel Embiid's out there. Looks like he's in a Vietnam War.
I just don't know what to do, man. And you know, he's been dealing with knee issues his whole career, and I'm just like, at some point, man, I don't know. I mean, he looks a little big too. I feel bad for him.
I know, man.
Got to figure a way out to stay healthy.
He's a stud.
It's too good. Yeah.
All right. Here's what we're going to do really quickly, and we're going to get out of here because I know Big Hawk's about to fall asleep here, and so am I. I mean, God bless you. If you're still listening to this, then you deserve it. The NBA season awards. I'm just going to read out the award. I'm going to read out who the finalists are, and you just rapid fire tell me who's going to win, who you think should win out of those people. NBA Clutch Player of the Year. Don't ask me what that means or how it's judged. Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan, SGA.
Steph Curry.
NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Bam Adebayo, Rudy Gobert, Victor Wembanyama.
Bam Adebayo.
Kia Most Improved Player. Tyrese Maxey, Alperen Sengun, and Kobe White.
Kobe White.
Yeah, Kobe's going to win that all day long. Should be in consideration. Jonathan Kuminga didn't qualify. I'll digress. I'll come back to MVP. I'll come back to Rookie of the Year. NBA Sixth Man of the Year, Malik Monk. Guys, he used to play for Kentucky, I believe. Plays for the Sacramento Kings. Bobby Portis. You got to be an NBA fan. No doubt. Sixth Man of the Year is Bobby Portis for the Bucks and Naz Reid of the Timberwolves.
Bobby Portis.
This is going to be a Naz Reid's going to win that shoe in. Coach of the Year, Sleep Dog Call Before the Year, Mike Dagenau, Coach of the Thunder, Chris Finch. Yeah, you got to know NBA. You got to really like NBA to be know who the coaches are too, especially this year. Minnesota, Chris Finch, Minnesota Timberwolves, and Jamal Mosley, Orlando Magic.
I'm going to OKC.
I agree. Mosley could be a good one though, because I think they finished
it too. I remember you talking about this. Yep,
I knew they were going to be good. All right. Rookie of the Year. Actually, I'm coming back to Rookie of the Year because that's how we'll close this one out. MVP, Luka Doncic, SGA, Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic.
I think they're going to give it to SGA, but I think Jokic is the MVP. Rookie of the Year, Chet Holmgren of the Thunder, Brandon Miller of the Hornets, or Victor Wembanyama of the Spurs.
It's got to be Chet Holmgren.
I was curious. Dude, there is literally, look, all these betting websites, they're giving you free money. Buddy, you take that free money, whatever it is, in $200 bets, and you absolutely, I'm telling you guys, if it is 1 million to 1, bet $1 million and you'll win your dollar. Victor Wembanyama, I look like the biggest idiot that ever existed by saying Victor Wembanyama was going to bust. This dude might be better than MJ when it's all said. I mean, he is insanely good. And I just got on here going off about how he was going to bust to the point that Wayne Ellington, one of my favorite Tar Heels of all time, if you guys haven't seen the episode, go back, gets on our Instagram, is like just trashing me. And I was like, I called Tyler. I was like, brother, what do I do, man? Like, I'm pissed off one of my favorite Tar Heels of all time. So then he's nice enough to come on the pod. Made me change my mind, thankfully. And basically apologized for my opinion, you know. And God, if I wasn't, I'm an idiot, dude. I mean, I'm talking, this is like one of the worst takes in the history of any take, period.
It wasn't a great take, but looking back, like, hey, you know what? I'm with you. Like, it wasn't like you were saying, like, I got what you're saying, though.
Sleep. Yeah.
But I
basically
I
was like, hey, they want this guy to be better than LeBron.
Yeah.
His expectations are too high. And I'll be damned, that dude, I mean, he might not be better than MJ, but.
You know what? I laugh about it every time I watch him. Like,
I have yet to turn on the TV where he's had a bad game, and I'm like, damn! Every time it's just like he turns a knife. He's like, he's not just like pretty good. You guys have watched NBA. You're gonna know who this guy. You're gonna get sick of hearing about this guy. And the funny thing is I'm gonna be really interested because there's nobody like him. So when people start talking about, oh, well, he's not better than such and such, that's going to be interesting because LeBron and MJ is sort of, and all these other guys, they're like kind of similar players. Like, dude, this guy's an alien. And by the way, Nike leaked his logo because, of course, Nike signed him. Pretty sick. That's it, guys. Dude, you stayed through this one. God bless you. Buy a t-shirt too. Buy some crab cakes from Jimmy's Famous Seafood. We're going up there in May, the golf tournament, and hopefully live to see the Wednesday following because I think it's on Tuesday. But shout out, Jimmy's. You got anything else, Big Hawk?
Stay safe.
Stay safe.